you know, my life, I guess for me, I would just tell myself to like, things don't need to be rushed. Like everything happens, you know, as it should, and everything kind of works out. Cause like where I am now in life, I am so happy. Like I love my life now, but that wasn't always the case in my 20s because I was always kind of thinking that I should be some, you know, that I should have settled down, and I should have done this, and what was wrong with me, and why wasn't I, and blah, blah.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good whatever.
And welcome to another episode of The Vegan Life. I'm super happy that you are here. You've come to the right place if you want to become a happier and healthier human being. And I'm super pumped because on today's episode, Emma Sherman steps by. Emma is a vegan coach, blogger. She lives in Bali, just as I do. And usually people in Bali are kind of slow, chilled, relaxed. So I thought we're going to start with a hot seat. Do you know what a hot seat is?
Is this where you just ask me loads of questions and I've got to answer?
Yeah, you have to answer like...
what comes into my head.
Yeah, your first thought.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. Ready. Okay.
What three words would you use to describe yourself?
Ooh, okay. Oh, this is really hard. Okay,
it's called hot
motivated.
Seat,
yeah. Yeah, how long have we got? motivated.
Uh-huh.
Like driven.
Mm-hmm.
And friendly.
Wow. Would you rather be an ant-sized elephant or an elephant-sized ant?
An ant-sized elephant.
Why?
Because they're bigger. I don't know. I feel like ants get squashed all the time. So even if you're an elephant...
But imagine like ant. A small elephant. How cute would be that? Like
Yeah, but until you get stepped on and then it's not so cute.
Fair enough. What is something you are very good at?
Cooking.
True. That's why you're here.
Yeah.
Okay, last one. It's a really deep question.
Oh.
You should be really thoughtful. Hummus or avocado?
Avocado.
Get the fuck out of here.
I know, I'm a bad vegan, sorry, but...
No, I just love hummus so much.
Well, that's fine, because then that just means more for you, if I don't eat it.
True. That's actually a really good point.
Yeah.
And, I can't... Good for you, because I can't find good hummus in Bali. Like, if there is one thing that I miss from, like, home... Than proper hummus.
Yeah.
Have you ever had good hummus in Bali?
No.
Never, right?
No. But then the avocados aren't great here either.
Really?
Unless you buy like the imported ones and obviously.
You don't like the local avocados?
Not as much, no.
Interesting. So, how did you end up living here if the avocados are a bit?
Like... Well, it wasn't for the avocados, that's for sure. How did I end up living here? So for years, I wanted to live somewhere warm. Like since I left uni, so 10 years ago, I've always been like, I want to be near the sea. I want to be living in a hot country.
Mm-hmm.
And I did go to Australia for 7 months. But I don't know, Australia was too much like home. I think city life for me was getting a bit bored of it, a bit done with it.
Did they have good avocados there?
They did have good avocados.
Really? Local avocados?
What, in Australia? In Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah, expensive though. Like all the vegetables and stuff. I mean, this was years and years
ago. They have avocado trees in Australia?
I don't know. No, I don't actually.
It's probably important, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then over the last few years, I was really thinking about moving abroad again, but I didn't know where I wanted to go. And then I had been to Bali before, so I came to Bali 4 years ago and loved it. I mean, I was vegan then, so like the vegan food here, I was just like vegan.
How many
food,
years ago?
Vegan. So 4 years ago, I was in Bali.
Same, by the way.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay. So December 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just over 4 years ago. So yeah, just love the food. And I always kind of thought over the last like couple of years, oh, I'd really love to go live in Bali, but I was like, no, it's never gonna happen, like it's impossible. I remember asking or looking into visas and stuff like 2 years ago, and I was like, no, that sounds too difficult, I'm not doing it, can't do it. Like I just need to get rid of that dream. But then I kept having signs for Bali, like every time I'd go on Instagram, there was like someone from Bali would pop up, or you know, just something like signaling me like towards Bali. And then yeah, I had a friend that lived out in Canggu and spoke to him about it, also vegan. And yeah, just decided to just make the leap last end of September, beginning of October. So came out here and best decision I've ever made, aside from going vegan. How many times can I mention vegan in this podcast?
For every single time you have to do 10 burpees. That's the rule.
But it's a vegan podcast. Surely yeah. I should be praised for it.
I don't make the rules.
You do make the rules. It's your podcast.
Fair enough. What makes Bali so special for you? Like, why Bali and not, I don't know, Vietnam, Thailand? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I have been to Vietnam and Thailand.
I love Vietnam and Thailand.
Yeah.
They have really good avocados there.
You don't have to just go around and try all the avocados everywhere and see where's the best. I don't know. There's just something about Bali. It's so hard to explain exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hadn't actually been to Canggu before I moved here. I'd only been to Seminyak and Ubud and Gili Tea, but it's not really Bali. But mm-hmm. But my friend lived in Canggu. So when I came here, I didn't really know what to expect, but I was sort of on that mindset of, oh, well, if I don't like it, I can always go to Ubud, because mm-hmm. I knew I loved Ubud. But I did want to be near the sea. That's why I did want to come here. And I don't know, there's just what's special about here. There's so many people in the same situation, you know, so many digital nomads working here. It's just a beautiful place. Like, I love it. I can't even specifically tell you exactly what. The food is good. The people are nice. The weather's great, even in rainy season. Like, it's just great.
I agree. Like, I always say it's trying to describe how a rose smells.
Yeah.
Like, try. It's nice.
It smells really good.
It's good. It's the number one reason is the, for me, is the vibe and energy.
Yeah.
Like, I remember literally the first time I left the airport, and then I felt the energy. It probably sounds like super spiritual, but I don't give a damn. It just feels different to be here. Like, the energy, the vibe. And then in the morning, when you open the door and you have the locals, it doesn't matter. It's raining, it's storming. They're always nice, always kind.
So hardworking as well. Like, it's
And not complaining. And
no complaining.
Yeah. Let's complain.
Let's complain.
Let's complain for a second. Because I always share only the good sides about Bali, and people tell me, you should talk about the bad sides as well.
I can do that.
So what are things that really annoy you here?
What are things that annoy me here? The amount of litter and rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so obviously coming from London,
mm-hmm.
London was when I left, was really, really kind of like taking the whole zero waste less waste and stuff on board. Then I moved here, and you know, I go and do my beach walks every day, and there's just all rubbish all along the beach, and mm-hmm. that is really heartbreaking. Like, they don't really understand, you know, how bad single use plastics and stuff are mm-hmm. here. So that's quite difficult to see. The animal side of it. So obviously you see a lot of street dogs, street cats, not in good conditions at all. The cows you often see at the side that, you know, it's just, the animal, it wouldn't say animal cruelty, but it's just like they don't look at animals the same way we do in Europe.
That's interesting. So the first thing, I totally agree, the plastic thing. I was actually, I think like 6 months ago, they banned single-use plastic.
Where it back?
In Bali.
Oh, in Bali?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Wow, like, would not have thought that.
Yeah, there were like posts on social media. I'm like, finally.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. But then I came to Bali and I'm like, what do you mean?
This is
like,
true.
Everyone is trying to give me plastic, and like, they're literally like wrap plastic around plastic.
Yeah.
Like, you could buy like a plastic, like a juice. It's in a plastic cup, and then they give you a plastic bag together with a plastic cup.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Well, the second thing you said is like, if you compare like how much meat they eat in Bali compared mm-hmm. to how much meat they eat in the UK, mm-hmm. it's like that little.
Yeah.
I just think they don't really hide it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's
like
true.
You see all the chicken.
Yeah.
Have you seen the... Well, I had like a posted really disgusting video. So they had like 20 chicken on one bike, but like wrapped around.
I've seen it.
Oh, I can't
like
even.
Like upside down.
Yeah.
I've seen it like just by their feet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, like, I've seen it. It's horrible.
Oh my gosh. Then that stuff happens.
Of course. Yeah, we just don't see it at
home.
You're
don't
right.
see it at home.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. It just.
it's interesting.
Because
like, if you imagine like all the slaughterhouses in Europe or like in the Western world, there would be like, you would actually see it. It's just, it would be glass. Like we would look at stuff differently, I think. And here in Bali, you can just go to a slaughterhouse and no one cares. Like, oh, come in.
Yeah.
They show you around.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Anyways, plastic, definitely. Do you think it's only the locals or also, like, tourists?
What, plastic?
Yeah.
Tourists as well, definitely.
I think a lot, like...
Drunk tourists in Seminyak, for sure.
Also, all the hotels.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just so much waste, they can't really handle it. And they don't have a, like, they just burn the waste.
Yeah, it's the burning as well, that's so bad.
That's their solution for, like, we have waste. We get rid of it. We just burn it. So if you have a brilliant idea or if you're just bored, please come to Bali and fix this recycling problem here. I would even bring your hummus. I don't know where I would
get it. We will get you the best hummus and the best avocados.
I promise you, if you fix the plastic problem and the traffic problem.
Yeah, that I was going to say, that's another thing, the pollution.
You would be my hero. Here. Yeah. Do you wear one of these like protective?
I need to get one.
Yeah, like, same. Every single time I stay at the shortcut, it's like a famous road in Chengdu. I'm like, I'm probably I don't even know what's in my mouth right now.
I know, that's so true.
Do you feel lonely sometimes? That's what people ask me all the time.
No, not here.
Do you miss something like from home?
Like, I've always been one of those people that
you don't have to feel bad.
Like, mom, I miss you, of course. But I'm one of those people that I have never really, like, I've traveled quite a lot and I've never really been one of those people that gets really homesick.
Mm-hmm.
So I think because I meet people, like, I'm quite a friendly, outgoing person that I meet people quite easy. Like, I've got a very good group of friends here. I've got my people that I live with here, and then I've got the girls, the vegan girls. And so I feel like I'm always surrounded by people here. Mm-hmm. So I never really, I wouldn't say I've really felt lonely since I've been here, which is great. I mean, I've been here for 5 months nearly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's times obviously where you miss sort of, you know, like home comforts, like, you know, when it was Christmas and I was like, oh, I just want it to be cold so I can get in a jumper. Like, I put my aircon on full blast and I watched a Christmas film and I put a jumper on.
I literally did the same. Aircon, so that, such a bad vegan.
I know, so bad. Sorry for the environment, but I just wanted that like home comfort of feeling like it was winter and watching a Christmas film, Home Alone on, you know, But so that, things like that, and certain things like, you know, little foodie bits. Like, I would always cook a roast dinner every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And here with my oven being tiny.
You have an oven?
I bought an oven when I got here.
Because most of the people in Bali don't have an oven.
Yeah, of course. But they're like, it's just a little, like, you know, like the microwave oven type.
Yeah, I think we have one.
Yeah, similar to yours.
I never cooked it.
It's been probably the best investment I've ever bought, because I've used it every day.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, I can't cook a roast dinner in that. Like, I need a big full oven for that. So I haven't had a roast dinner since I got to Bali. So I definitely miss a roast dinner.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine living in Bali for the rest of your life?
For the foreseeable future anyway. This is home now. Sorry, Mum.
Wow.
Yeah, like, I don't want to, I kind of like not having a plan. Mm-hmm. This is what I, because everyone's going, so what's your plan? Are you staying? Are you staying out? And then I'm like, for now, yeah. Like, I don't have a plan, but who knows what's going to happen.
Isn't it interesting that we as a society, we always want that, like, people ask me, Axel, when do you leave Bali? I don't know. When I don't want to be here anymore. Yeah. That's the answer. We always want, like, fixed, and we are so scared of uncertainty.
Yeah.
And I also remember when I was like 18, we literally, I don't know how the situation is in the UK, but in Germany, if you're 18, you have to know what you want to do for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Well, university, isn't it? It's like you're set up for that, really.
And if that's just so ludicrous, because like it could happen that you do something for 10 years and then you don't want to do it anymore. Or you live in Bali for 5 years and then you decide, you're like, oh, I want to live in Norway.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you go live in Norway. Why do you think is that? Why do you think that people always need a fixed plan?
Ooh, I don't know. I think, because for me personally, like, I have grown so much since I was 18. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, as humans, we are constantly growing. So obviously things are going to change for us in mm-hmm. that sense. But I don't know why people, why do I think people...
And I was like that as well. Like, I got stressed out, out when I didn't know it. I completely changed when I backpacked.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was uncertainty all the time.
Yeah.
And you kind of like, oh, I actually don't need a plan for the rest mm-hmm. of my life. Like, you need I think you need a purpose.
Yeah.
That's something else.
I agree.
I think you need a purpose. But I think it's actually naive to say, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. It's like, I just don't understand the value that you get out mm-hmm. of. Like, maybe certainty. Uh-huh. Okay, I get it. But then you're so unflexible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know what happens.
You don't know what's going to happen exactly. Yeah. Or how you're going to, you know, like, I did fashion at uni. Mm-hmm. I did fashion journalism. I went into the fashion industry. Now I'm vegan and I couldn't imagine anything worse than being in the fashion industry. I went vegan. It was actually when I went vegan that I was like, I need out of this, mm-hmm. the fashion industry, because my morals had changed so much. Or they didn't necessarily change, because I'd always been an animal lover, but I hadn't obviously made that connection.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was no way I could stay in the fashion industry with, you know, them using, you know, the company that I work for, leather, wool, mm-hmm. you know, not fur, but like leather, like, but, and I was like, I couldn't do this. Mm-hmm. So I think as your morals change, you're obviously going to change as a person, and the things that interested you before aren't necessarily going to interest you anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. But I think because society's never really been like that or looked at it like that, us lot that are doing that,
mm-hmm.
we're like the outcasts and the ones.
Yeah, we are the 0.05%.
Yeah, for sure.
When did that, your mindset obviously change? When did that happen? Was that like also the traveling teach you to think differently, or what was it?
Yeah, I can't, like, honestly, I know I've said vegan so many times. level 10 vegan over here. It was when I went vegan that so much changed for me, because uh-huh. that was 6 years ago. So yeah, I was 20, it was when I was 24. So yeah, 30.
You have 30?
Yeah, do what?
Shut the front door, your mother did a great job.
Thanks.
Not only your mother, but anyway.
So yeah, when I was 24, I went vegan, and a lot changed for me then. I think because I think then because I didn't have many vegan friends, mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, I was the first one out of anyone I knew to go vegan, didn't know really know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I felt a little bit like a lot like the outcast then, mm-hmm. you know, from making that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that just kind of kickstarted everything else. And I was like, well, I've survived this. What else can I change in my life to not do what society expects me to do?
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, yeah, it was from then that everything kind of...
Yeah, many people say that.
Yeah.
For me, the same. Like, I started meditating.
Yeah.
And like a lot of different things just to... We kind of always... I always believed, like, I didn't ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? Like, why do we do that?
Yeah.
And usually the answer is, yeah, it was always this, like this, you know?
That's what, it's always been done, so it's right, yeah.
How about asking why? Mm. Like, why do we do it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Usually I don't talk a lot about traveling here, but since you travel... what was one of the most beautiful lessons that traveling taught you? I think there is so much growth in traveling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I met so many people who say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I don't promote like flying around the world without a reason, but we can't hide our past.
Of course. And
I think sharing these kind of lessons
mm-hmm.
Is a beautiful thing. So can you remember like one moment that hit you where you said like, phew?
Oh, I feel like traveling for me has kind of made me more open and kind of welcoming with people. Because I think before, because I grew up in like I mean, I had a very good childhood, you know, grew up, and but in a quite a... So I'm from North London, mm-hmm. and the Jewish community, because my family are Jewish, we're not mm-hmm. religious, but we are just, but like the Jewish community in London can be quite small-minded and close-minded. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was always sort of like, no, that's not me. Like, even when I was younger, I was like, no, bye, I'm off to the other side of London to live in, you know, this side of London. Mm-hmm. So I think traveling for me really made me open my eyes to kind of everyone and just appreciating all the different cultures and just every, like, you know, just everyone in the world and what they do and how hard they work to, you know, like, especially places like, you know, in Asia, like mm-hmm. Vietnam, Thailand, just how hard people work for so little, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Like mm-hmm. not what we're used to back home, obviously, in England. And I think, mm-hmm. yeah, that was probably one of the biggest things for me. And I think that made me so much more compassionate, which then probably led onto the whole vegan thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's crazy mm-hmm. how the people, like, I live close to, like, rice fields. Mm-hmm. I'm literally surrounded by rice fields. And you see them early in the morning, 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And then when I stop working around 6 p.m., they're still there. Mm. Doing, like, it's so hot. I don't know how they do it.
So hot.
But then if you talk to them, they're always kind, always smiling.
Always, always.
It's crazy. When I saw that, I'm like, I literally changed my perspective. I'm mm-hmm. like, I never worked hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we sit in an office.
Yeah.
We have coffee. We have water. We get enough food. And we still think we work so hard.
Yeah.
And everything, like, is perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so traveling taught us the same.
Yeah.
Lesson.
Yeah.
Huh? Let's talk about veganism so that you can use the word vegan 10 times more.
Vegan.
Brainwashed. You're a vegan coach.
Yes.
How did that happen?
So I actually wasn't really into cooking before I went vegan.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't grow up, my parents were never big cooks, like, we kind of, it was just shove it in the oven or pasta.
Oh,
I do love pasta. Pasta is probably one of my favorite things.
Yeah, same.
I didn't really know what I should, you know, how to cook mm-hmm. until I went vegan, and then I kind of had to, because there wasn't, you know, I mean, now in London you go into a shop and you can pick up something vegan so easily, but you couldn't back then.
I remember.
Yeah, it was hard.
There was no vegan logo. There were no vegan restaurants.
Nope. Yeah, you were lucky if you got, like, a vegan option in a
restaurant. Yeah.
And now you get a whole menu and I'm like, oh, it was easier with one thing on the menu because now I don't know what to choose. So I wasn't really into cooking that much. And then I went vegan and had to experiment more and found this passion that I had for cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So for years I just cooked and cooked and cooked. And then about a couple of years ago, I went freelance 3 years ago almost,
mm-hmm.
and was just doing admin, social media, a bit of photography for companies,
mm-hmm.
But they were never really, really jobs that I was truly passionate about. They were kind of just, it was great being freelance, but I wanted to find something that I was really passionate about, and I thought, well, obviously the vegan thing, that's obviously number one.
Mm-hmm.
How can I kind of incorporate this and create a business from it?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I kind of was thinking and brainstorming for, it was about... So I launched it last year,
mm-hmm.
That's how it came about. So just mm-hmm. wanting to make it as easy as possible for people to go vegan, or who want to go vegan
mm-hmm.
without making it. Because I know a lot of people are like, well, I'd love to go vegan, but it takes so much prep and it takes so much this and
mm-hmm.
it takes so much that. And I'm like, it doesn't. It's really not that hard. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, if I learned how to cook.
Let's play a game.
Okay.
So... let's say my name is, what is a good name? Ooh, Otto? Otto?
Otto?
It's a proper German name.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm probably saying it wrong. fits
perfectly to my accent. So I'm Otto. I just watched Game Changers on Netflix, uh-huh. and now I'm pumped. Like, I want to go vegan, but as you just described, like, I don't know how. It's super complicated. I'm Otto. I don't have a goddamn clue how to cook. Okay, I don't even have an oven.
Okay.
I don't even like avocados. Yeah.
Okay, that's no problem, it's fine.
What should I do? Like, I start my day usually with cereals and some cow's milk and my sandwich with, what do you put on a sandwich? Bacon?
Well, I don't put bacon on a sandwich. Yeah, but, no, like, but Otto does.
Is that a thing? Like, so, how do you eat bacon?
Yeah, I guess in a sandwich.
Okay. Yeah, bacon sandwich. Okay. What do I do instead? Like,
what do you do instead? So, what would you eat instead? So, that is obviously what my business is, like creating meal plans for people. So, it can be as personalized, like obviously as personalized as they want it to be. Mm-hmm. So, if this is somebody who kind of works out a lot and they've got to hit certain, you know, like they've got to get this amount of protein, they've got to get that amount mm-hmm. of this, that I would have to take into
Otto
account.
Otto is just an average guy.
He
plays tennis 3 times per week. He has a girlfriend, if that matters.
Does she want to go vegan too?
No.
Okay. So, well, so...
That's why he has to cook on his own.
Oh.
You know?
So first thing I'd say is get an oven. Get an oven.
Okay, but...
there's so many different things. So I wouldn't just want to give one meal, mm-hmm. you know, because you want to keep it interesting. I would say to you'd have to eat more, because I feel like with a lot of people that try and go vegan... They say, I'm never full up. It doesn't fill me up being vegan.
Mm-hmm.
But because meat is obviously so dense,
mm-hmm.
they can eat a bit more on a, you know, like you can eat more vegetables, you can eat more fruit, you can eat more food
mm-hmm.
on a vegan diet.
Mm-hmm. Which is great, by the way.
Which is great. 6,000 calories over here.
No, you can, I mean, you can eat more food.
Food.
And we all love food. But yeah, I know what you mean, like... There are some people who say, I've tried veganism, but then I kind of felt tired. And that's usually mm-hmm. because you didn't get enough calories.
Yeah.
Like, there could be also other reasons. But what happens if you don't eat enough calories? You lose weight. Mm-hmm. You probably don't get enough nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe even hair loss, things of that nature, depends how...
Yeah.
How big your calorie deficit is, but definitely you have to eat more food, like more volume, to get the same amount of calories, which is still freaking amazing.
Yeah. That's brilliant for us.
but definitely, good point. Is there, like, do you see other common mistakes that newbies or maybe like even long-term vegans do?
Yeah. Like, so another one I would say is, like, for me, because obviously the whole protein thing mm-hmm. where, you know, when I first went vegan, I was like, I have to have something to replace that, the chicken or the fish or something that was on my plate. You know, so on my plate, I was picturing it and it was like the vegetables, the carbs and then the protein.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't. Yeah. What I didn't realize was that there's protein in so much food, in so many different foods. Yeah. You know, obviously if it depends what you're trying to achieve, but there's protein in so much and I didn't realize that. So I was like, I have to have these substitute meats because I don't have, you know, I didn't know like, or tofu mm-hmm. or something as the alternative. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still eat tofu and tempeh like every day, mm-hmm. especially here. But yeah, I think that was a common mistake. Or the other mistake is just completely taking away the protein and just having vegetables and that. So it's finding
the protein
balance.
Thing. Yeah. I had the same, let's call it issue. I had the same thought usually, and I was like into bodybuilding and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I had 200, 300 grams of chicken in the evening. Chicken has around like 100 grams of chicken, 22 grams of protein.
Mm-hmm.
So I Googled vegan foods with more than 20 grams of protein. And I actually was surprised that so many vegan foods, so many nuts have more protein than meat.
Yeah.
But anyways, I found lentils. I love lentils.
Mm-hmm. Same.
100 grams have around 27 grams of protein, mm-hmm. which is higher than chicken.
Yeah.
The only problem was it also has a lot of fiber.
Right. So instead of...
I never ate like legumes.
Yeah.
Like just once in a while, some hummus or things of that nature, but never 200-300 grams of lentils.
Yeah.
And that's also a big, like, common... let's call it a challenge of people. Like they feel bloated in the beginning. So number one was definitely not getting enough calories.
Yeah.
Then we have the protein issue. Like, I mean, the message is you get enough protein, like so many foods.
If
you eat enough calories and you eat more than just mangoes.
love the mangoes here though.
The odds are high that you get enough protein.
And the fiber.
The fiber is like a big issue for people. What would you recommend for someone who, for Otto?
Because I think as well, like with the fiber thing, a lot of people don't eat enough fiber, which is why obviously when people switch to a vegan diet, they are eating more fiber, so mm-hmm. they feel it more. But actually, before, they're not getting enough, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
there's so many people out there that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, get an oven. Your body will get used to the fiber intake.
Mm-hmm. It takes a while. You have to be smart. Like, don't be as stupid as excellent. Start eating 300 grams of lentils. That's a lot of fiber. Your microbiome will adjust. It just takes
time.
Takes like a while, and then
that's the other thing as well. Like when you switch to a vegan diet, a lot of people kind of try it for a week, you know, and they're like, oh, I don't feel the benefits. Like, I can't, mm-hmm. I'm not carrying on with this. Like, it doesn't mm-hmm. work for me,
mm-hmm.
but you have to give it a chance. Like, you have to give it at least a couple of months
mm-hmm.
to see the benefits of being on a vegan diet. Yeah. And I think that's another thing where people kind of,
I think the biggest mistake is that people don't educate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, if you, I love veganuary. Do you call it veganuary?
Veganuary.
You know what we're talking about. I love that. I love these challenges. But if you don't educate yourself, you will probably give up.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have a clue about your why, like if you can't answer the question, why am I eating vegan? Then the odds are pretty high that you... Yeah. That you will quit. So you have to figure out your why. I'm curious, what's your why?
Of why I went vegan?
Why are you still vegan?
Why am I still vegan? Well, for me, it was the animal side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
most of the people, by the way, which, I think it's like 67%.
Yeah. So I was one of those people that said, I will never go vegan because I love cheese too much.
Mm-hmm.
Cheese was my
biggest thing. A life without cheese is not worth living.
Right, exactly.
That's what I said.
My thought process was. Yeah, like to the point where my friend, you know when you phone someone and you can have their picture, like a picture of them come mm-hmm. up, she had a cheese board for me because I loved cheese that much. So I was a cheese board photo on my friend's phones.
Uh-huh.
That's how much. So I quote myself a few times, I will never go vegan because I love cheese too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw videos on the dairy industry
mm-hmm.
and I've always been an animal lover, just obviously never made that, or I didn't really know about it, to be mm-hmm. fair. I had given up meat almost a year before, so I was pescatarian. And yeah, then saw this video on the dairy industry that came up on my Facebook because I followed Peter, the charity.
Oh, yeah.
PETA.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, this isn't true. Like, this just must be, you know, how you think, must be a one-off. This must be in a country that's not England. You know?
Yeah,
it doesn't happen in our country. But I'm one of those people that I can't just ignore things. So mm-hmm. I did look into it more. And I looked into it more and realized that was the dairy industry. And I was like, oh my God, like, no, like what is this? So this was December, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I went home for Christmas or around Christmas time. And my mum got out the cheese board, as every Christmas she gets one. And I just remember forcing it down my throat. I felt sick. I couldn't eat it. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time I've ever not been able to eat cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Went back home to my home in London. I lived in East London at the time. And yeah, I remember being hungover and don't drink anymore either, but I remember being hungover at the time. And I went to the fridge to make something and mm-hmm. everything in there was vegetarian or fish. And I was like, don't want any of it. Mm-hmm. So I gave all the food to my housemate and decided that day to go vegan.
Just wanted to say thank you to the sponsor of today's episode. It's myself. I just launched my online program. If you want to learn how to thrive on a vegan diet, if you want to get in shape in this year, then you have to sign up for the 30 Days Vegan Challenge. In over 25 explainer videos, you will learn how to cover all your nutrients on a vegan diet, because eating vegan doesn't necessarily mean eating healthy. You will learn which supplements you have to use, you get vegan recipes and check, plus shopping list, which will make sure that you're getting all your nutrients. If you sign up now, you can still get the early bird rate. It's only $85, but only if you sign up today. Link in the podcast description and my Instagram bio. Sign up today and now enjoy the rest of the episode.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, you educated
the animal,
yourself.
Yeah,
so
the animal side of it.
You would tell Otto, bro, watch a documentary, watch read a book. Watch
these documentaries. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which one would you recommend?
Ooh, for the animal side of it.
I would say Dominion.
Earthlings or Dominion.
Yeah, I think Dominion because it's like a little bit... Like, Earthlings is so old.
Yeah, if that makes sense. That's true. I hear
people often saying, like, oh, it's so old, it's not like this anymore, and, like, Dominion is, like, new.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or Dairy is Scary. It's only, like, 5 minutes, and it's a very, very good... So if people don't have the time to watch... Is it a YouTube video? It's a YouTube... I believe it's a YouTube, yeah, YouTube video. Dairy is Scary.
I've watched it like five things or something.
Yeah, it's very, very short. Very easy it goes like
tick, 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 but it explains everything really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, obviously, Game Changers, we talked about it in the beginning. Anyways, so Otto loves cow's milk. Like coffee without milk, it's not a coffee. What does Otto do?
Try the other milks in it. Like, okay, so my mum was the same.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like milk, don't like, you know, I have to have cow's milk in my tea and coffee. Very, very British, loves her cup of tea.
Yeah.
And then I told her to try Oatly Barista because everyone, I don't drink tea or coffee. So for me, it was, I mean.
What?
Yeah.
You don't drink tea or coffee?
No. That's
good for you.
Yeah. Don't drink tea or coffee. I mean, tea, I've never been that bothered about because.
You sure you're English?
Yeah, everyone says this to me. You're the worst Brit I've ever met because you just don't drink tea. And I'm like, I know, sorry. But yeah, so Oatly Barista. I have had a coffee with Oatly Barista in and it's very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would say just try the different milks. You know, they only cost £1 or whatever. Otto's got Germany, euro. Mm-hmm. in the shops. So just to try them all and see which one. That's what I told my mum to do. And now she loves Oatly Barista in her tea and coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely will be one. There are seven different milks. Is it seven?
I think there are 27.
27? Really?
Yeah. I don't know how...
Soy.
Let's go. Okay. All right. Soy, oat milk, hemp milk.
Almond.
Coconut milk. We had almond milk, so we have five. You go for the sixth one. You don't
know? Hemp.
We already had hemp.
No, you didn't say hemp.
I said hemp.
No, you didn't.
Okay, so I think I said hemp.
Wait,
but
so you said soy?
My grandma always said, if you're an...
You said hazelnut.
Hazelnut? Okay. Anyways, we have six, I think.
No, wait, there's definitely another one. Cashew?
Peanut?
Peanut? Yeah, I've never had peanut milk, but...
My best friend made it for me.
Okay, true, you can make any milk.
Rice?
Rice. Okay, I take it back. There's more than there's seven. More.
I think
there used to be seven 6 years ago.
Pea?
Pee? Oh, okay.
I like pee, the pee. Not your wee. Yeah, plenty.
Okay, so there we go. Otto has plenty to try.
Uh-huh. And then another thing, scrambled eggs. What do I do?
Okay, scramble tofu and get black salt. Because, have you ever had black salt?
What the fuck is black salt?
Right. See, game changer this one is. So black salt is a type of salt, but it's like...
It's black, I guess.
Yeah, but it tastes and smells eggy.
Really?
It's crazy. I think it's like I'd have to double check that. I'd have to just double check exactly what it is. But it's such a great... If you want to make it actually taste like egg... I mean, for me, I love tofu scramble. Not bothered if it tastes like egg. I just love tofu scramble anyway. Mm-hmm. But if you actually miss that egg taste... Mm-hmm. Same for like if you want to make Yorkshire puddings or something like that. That's a very British thing, obviously, with the roast dinner. It's using black salt in it because you normally make it with eggs...
Mm-hmm.
Gives it that eggy taste and it even smells a bit like egg as well. It's crazy. So yeah, black salt and on tofu scramble if you really want scrambled eggs. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, just normal tofu scramble is perfect.
Okay, probably a lot of Ottos are sitting at home and they say things like, oh, it's probably super expensive.
No, I couldn't tell you exactly how much it is, but it's not...
No, I mean like vegan diet in general.
I think you meant black salt. I thought we were still on the black salt thing. No. So if you eat the substitute meats and cheeses and things like that, then yes, it's going to be more expensive. But if you stick to a whole food plant-based diet, it's one of the cheapest diets you can be on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you just focus on like things whole like foods. Beans, like legumes, rice.
Yeah, exactly. They're all the cheapest foods that you can get 100%. In the world.
I'm pretty sure you love nutritional yeast, right?
I love nutritional yeast.
I knew it because... If you love cheese, you love nutritional yeast.
Yeah.
Oh, the first time I had it, I'm
everything.
Like...
Everything.
Oh, my
really?
God.
See, the first time I had it, I didn't like it.
What?
And then it grew. Like, I don't know. I was like, okay, I need to keep trying with
pasta?
This.
Pasta?
Everything.
Hot pasta, and then you put nutritional yeast on top. It smells
so good, isn't it? Nutritional yeast is sprinkled on everything, I'm not gonna lie. Everything.
Since I'm in Bali, I don't buy it anymore.
Really?
Oh, yeah, there's just there's only one store I think where you can get it, and it's like the zero waste store. Yeah. And I usually don't cook. That's the problem.
Yeah, of course. So if I would, they must do it in some of the restaurants here though.
Maybe. Yeah.
They probably have it in sauces and stuff.
I'll
bring you some nutritional yeast.
So if you are bored and you want to live in Bali, come to Bali and make proper nutritional yeast and hummus.
Yeah.
Best company
ever. Because it's a good source of B12 as well, nutritional yeast.
Yeah. Do they fortify B12?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, because naturally...
Yeah. It's soil, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I think most things are like fortified with it.
Yeah, I think most of them are fortified, but kind of, anyways. Okay, before we come to the last question... I want to know where people can find you, where Otto can find you.
So on Instagram and Facebook, my pages are Emma Sherman Vegan Coach.
Mm-hmm.
I have also just launched an ebook, which is free.
Yay!
It's a free ebook and it's 5 ingredient recipes, not inclusive of salt and pepper. So very, very easy recipes.
Mm-hmm.
I had my housemate, who's not vegan, look over it all before I launched it, because he doesn't cook either. So to see if he would be able to cook everything, and he was just like, yeah, this sounds really easy. So yeah, so there's breakfast, lunch and dinner ideas in there. 5 ingredients, but you can find that in the bio of my pages.
You can also find it in the podcast description.
Yeah.
Okay, last question. That's a deep one. It's one of my favorite questions.
Okay.
Imagine you have a time machine and you can go back. You are 30, right?
30.
Okay. Just wanted to tease you.
I am happy. I'm enjoying my 30s have been way better than my 20s already. I live in Bali.
All right, fair enough. Imagine you could meet your... 18 years old self, like you could go back in time for like 20 minutes. You have dinner together, amazing pasta, nutritional yeast on top.
Yes,
smells perfect. Really good. What would you tell yourself?
What would I tell myself? Oh, this is a very good question.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
So, no, we need a good answer.
Yeah, but it's not the hot seat, so I can take a bit of time to think
about
sure. This. Because my 20s, I mean, were very, very, very confusing. Very, like, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I guess the one thing I would tell myself is... Oh, this is really hard.
I think I've answered the question already like 200 times on this podcast.
Have you?
Yeah. But I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna tell you because it might influence. And I think because I ask this question every single time, and usually I get the same answer.
Really?
Yeah, like similar, not the same, obvious, obviously, but quite similar.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of like what happened in my 20s that I would have like wanted to kind of. I guess for me it was just like, because I was so confused about where I was going. And I, in my head, you know, when you're 18, for me, I was like, I'm going to go to uni. I'm going to meet, you know, I'm going to leave uni. I'm going to meet someone and I'm going to settle down and get married and have babies. And, you know, I wanted a baby at 21. But I'd have a 9-year-old. Like, no, thank you. Now, not that there's anything wrong with a 21-year-old having babies. But for me now, you know, my life, I guess for me, I would just tell myself to like, things don't need to be rushed. Like everything happens, you know, as it should, and everything kind of works out. Because like where I am now in life, I am so happy. Like I love my life now, but that wasn't always the case in my 20s, because I was always kind of thinking that I should be some, you know, that I should have settled down and I should have done this and what was wrong with me and why wasn't I and blah, blah. And yeah, now I don't know. So I think, yeah, to tell my 18-year-old self that just because you haven't got married or you haven't had kids by the time you're 25 does not mean you're a failure or that you're not, you know, you're not going to achieve great things.
Mm-hmm. It's similar to what most of the people say. Most of the people say, be kinder to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, sure.
Just no relax a little bit. Everything is going to be fine. That's what most of the people say. And that's, if I think back when I was 18, I was crazy. Like stressing about life.
Yeah.
When you are 18, you're a child.
Right. Stressing about life at 18.
It's ludicrous.
It's mad.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's insane. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. It was a blast.
I hope we have a potluck in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I hope you brought nutritional yeast. If not, you probably have enough time to go home and get some.
There is nutritional yeast in the tofu that I made.
Really?
Yeah.
Shut the front door. So we have to end this podcast. Thank you for listening. If you're still here, which you are, otherwise you wouldn't listen to my voice now. Share this episode with your friends in your Instagram stories. Tag Emma, tag me. And Emma, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And until next time.